Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his way. Amen. Jesus and Joshua from the First Testament. Bet you didn't know we were going to talk about Joshua today. Yes, they have the same name. Jesus is the Anglicization of the name in Greek, Jesus. Joshua is an Anglicization as well of a name, the same name, in Hebrew, Yehoshua. A good Bible dictionary will give you both renderings of that name. It means Yahweh saves. Today's gospel doesn't begin with the name, however. It takes us back to the first Christmas, especially those shepherds. Our gospel opens right in the middle of the story. We don't even know really what has taken place, except that the angel eventually tells us. And we tend to think that the shepherds were nice folk, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The other stereotypical view of shepherds in that day, however, was not the kind bucolic reverence that we hold for them, but suspicion and disdain. They had a reputation of following the sheep wherever they went and whenever they went, and that often meant ignoring boundaries and property lines, and that reality has not changed. Well, one summer, quite a few years back, this is one slide behind, yeah. One summer, quite a few years back, we had just finished, one more slide advanced? Yes, there we are. We're at Aunt Billy Joe's house there, Netsy's Aunt Billy Joe. It's a place in the woods in Colorado on a mountainside. And while we were picnicking with this beautiful view in front of us, a flock of sheep came through the camp. A large flock. They were probably 100 head. Sheep are a lot more of a nuisance than the same number of ants at a picnic. There were a couple, maybe three dogs, and one lone shepherd at the rear. I don't know who was more surprised, the dogs or the shepherd or our picnic party. Aunt Billy Joe was not amused, though I was. The point being that sheep are dirty animals, and they kick up a lot of dust, and in the process, their caretakers get dirty too, and any onlookers that get too close. Anyway, 21st century people may get all romantic about shepherds, but not so for first century folk. The fact that shepherds get to hear the glad tidings of great joy and spread that news to all the world is just one more part of the scandal of the Jesus story. Jesus wasn't just born in a barn. He was visited by untrustworthy field hands, and they probably didn't wash when they came in from the fields either. They rushed to see the sign that the angel told them, Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When we were in Bethlehem last November, we toured a first century house. There it is on the screen. It was the property of Christmas Lutheran Church. A couple of years ago, they were digging their basement for an expansion of the educational buildings, and they punched right through the roof of this house. How is it possible that they dug down into a house? Well, Bethlehem isn't flat like a tabletop. It's built on the side of a hill, and the hill is limestone, and many first century homes were simply carved right into the hillside. In fact, even today, some families are living in caves all over Bethlehem, all over Israel. Cool in the summer and warm in the winter, it really makes a lot of sense, and the bulk of the building materials are right there beneath your feet. The implication for Jesus' birth challenges even more of our preconceptions. The manger isn't in some outbuilding. It's in another part of that same cave home. And the manger's not made out of wood like the familiar ones that we see from Europe. Even our own mangers here at Grace are like that. But this is a manger on the screen. It's sometimes a box. It's almost always out of limestone, and often it is just a hollowed-out depression. It is instructive that all of the old ancient Eastern Orthodox icons have Jesus' birthplace in a cave, because that's probably what that home was. The humble surroundings of the birth are even more humble than we had supposed. The shepherds heard the good news from the angel of the Lord, the sign of God's abundant grace, the sounds of God's sweet joy, the giggles of God's late night celebration are given first to those who have little grace in their lives, given first to those who have few comforts that bring them very much joy, given first to those who have few things to celebrate. The scandal of Jesus' birth, rooted from their hometown, or that the town was so crowded they had to search for a place to stay, away from all the noise, away from all the commotion of that time. The scandal was that all of these things were put together and more, because this birth came in the midst of poverty and oppression, and yet it was the greatest birth the world has ever known. The scandal of the coming of God in human form was that God came under the sign of the opposite, the sign that we did not expect, not in displays of might and power, but with the cries of a tiny baby in a feed trough. Jesus had set aside all God's glory and came humbly and quietly among us, first to a young, newly formed family, and then in time to certainly poor shepherds, then to Bethlehem town folk, and finally, and only in due time, to you and to me. With all this, how did we know that this was a godly birth? It looked very much like any birth, to any poor family in any poor town. Well, it was that manger, that humble feed trough cut into the side of that cave. For there in the manger was the babe, the one revealed by the angel, wrapped, swaddled in strips of cloth, tended to by Mary and Joseph, and maybe their donkey, and certainly a cat, because Bethlehem, we found out, was a place that is full of cats. And 8 days later, on the day of his bris, he was given the name Jesus, the name that the angel had given him, even before he had been conceived, even before he had been conceived. And in this name, Jesus, comes the chesed of God. That's the word for loving kindness in the King James. The word for steadfast love in the New Revised Standard Version. The name of Jesus that looks over us with grace and mercy and peace forever. That at the name of Jesus, all might know how gently our God comes into our lives to rule. To rule not with mighty hubris, but tender humility. To govern not with successful billions, but in poverty, with little means. How silently God presides over our universe, not in huge spectacles, but with unobtrusive nudges. How God still appears to us when we think nothing is out there but darkness and void. How God steals into our hearts in the midst of our pains and sorrows, bringing the gladness of faith, bringing the surety of trust. 8 days after the first Christmas, Jesus is given his name, the name whispered from the angel's lips, Jesus, Yahweh saves. Amen.